Hi, Robbie.
Hello.
We're the early back crowd. I'm feeling highly motivated to try to find a way to be done by 9:15. So, we're just gonna.
Let's do it. Today is my 15-year anniversary.
It is. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, you had a lovely spring wedding 15 years ago, right?
I did.
I was gonna say, or was it one of those where it didn't look like spring at all? In the spring, things are a little unpredictable. So, all right, we're going to talk about percentages. All right, we're going to use percentages. Really, all of chapter 3 is percentages. I just picked out my two favorite ones to talk about because it is a 6-week class, so we don't want to go crazy trying to teach the whole book. So, in 3A, they really lay the groundwork for percentages, and we're going to do that. And then in 3E, I find 3E just be fascinating. Every year when I pull my book back out and I review it, I go, and this is why, A, we should not panic if our mammogram comes back positive. Because when we start doing those calculations, you're gonna find out, wow, are there a lot of false positives, okay? Because, so just because your mammogram is positive, don't panic, just go see your doctor. But things are probably fine. And then there's that whole discussion about do I or do I not take the lie detector test? And that can also be a very interesting real life conversation. So I picked that chapter just because we can still practice working our percentages. It's another way that we practice working our percentages. But at the same time, it has some very interesting, make the news kind of applications for us. And I think it's nice when we can look at those and try to see what we learned. So here we go, uses of percentages. Now, part of the reason that people get confused with percentages is because we use them in three very different ways, okay? Sometimes we use a percentage to discuss a fraction of something. This is what your grade in the class is. What fraction out of 100 will you end up with at the end of the course, okay? It's a fraction. How many points did I get out of the number of points possible? To describe a change, okay? Something was this, but now it's this. How much did it change? Temperature would be one thing that you could talk about. A temperature change of 3 degrees doesn't seem like much, okay? If you're sitting in Dallas and it goes from 83 to 80, you're kind of like, ho-hum, that's a very small change. But if you're sitting in South Dakota, where I spent 8 long winters, I'd like to report, and the temperature goes from 3 degrees to 0 degrees, even though it's still only a 3-degree change, okay? Either way, it's only a 3-degree change. Still, that can be more severe. So, especially if we then say, did we go from 6 degrees to 3 degrees? Oh, that's 50% less than it was before. If I go from 83 to 80, that is not a 50% change, okay? So when we describe a change in percentages as compared to a raw change or an actual change, those can be very different numbers. And so some people can be very confused about that, and we misread and we misunderstand the news sometimes because we didn't properly understand how that percentage was being used. And then there's just a basic comparison, okay? If I'm comparison shopping, they use this example of a battery, okay? If I buy this particular battery, it's gonna last 125% longer, but it's gonna cost me 200% more, okay? Well, so yeah, what does that mean? And it turns out 200% longer 200% more in cost is 3 times the cost. Okay, it's 3 times the cost. So instead of paying $75 for my battery, I'm gonna pay 3 times $75 for my battery. That sounds kind of bad, okay? That's a lot more. But what am I gonna get for it? Well, if it lasted 100% longer, it would be lasting twice as long, okay? So it's gonna last more than twice as long, okay? But it's gonna cost 3 times as much money. And I have to decide, is that worth it to me? Okay. Is that really a good trade-off or not? But it really helps if I understand the numbers. Okay, so let's look at a few things here. An opinion poll finds that 64% of 1,069 people surveyed said that the president is doing a good job. So how many actual people said the president is doing a good job? Remember that word of? It was on our keyword list. Back in chapter 2, of was on the keyword list. Anybody remember what of means, mathematically speaking? Oh, shout it out while I turn my phone off.
Does it mean divide?
It does not mean divide. Let's try it again. Somebody else give it a shot. Of mean per. By the way, per means to divide.
Multiply.
It means to multiply. There we go. We have a winner. Now, again, okay, you can look it up. All right, you can look it up. But of means to multiply, and we use of a whole bunch in percentages. So I need to take 64% times 1,069. Then there's that question of how do I handle the percent sign. All right, 64% of the 1,069, of means multiply. Notice they turned their 64 into 0.64. Why did they do that?
Because percentage is divided by 100.
Yes. If you get a perfect score, you got a 100, right? So whenever we're talking about percentages, we're talking about parts per 100. So this is 64 per or over 100. They could have written this as a fraction, and it might have been a little bit more obvious, 64 over 100 times 1,069. So if you just do 64 times 1,069, you're going to get this number, 68,416, and hopefully then you stop and say, does my answer make sense? Only 1,069 people got polled. How could 68,000 of them answer, I think the president's doing a good job? Do you see how stopping to think about, does my answer make sense, can save you from yourself, okay? So it's easy to forget to move that decimal. It's easy to forget to think about that percentage sign, but your answer usually is quite ridiculous. So if you stop and think about it, you go, oh yeah, there's that percentage sign thing, okay? And then you fix it and you go on. So there were actually 684 people who agreed. Notice that we don't talk about the 0.16 person, okay? We're talking about whole people here. So that's a good thing. All right, that's all I'm really gonna say about that. We'll talk a little bit more about calculating percentages when we get to that second half. I want to talk about percentage as a relative change, okay? As a relative change. So they say the absolute change describes the actual increase or decrease. How many more? How much did the temperature change? Okay, that's the absolute change. From a reference value to the new value, okay? And notice that another name for that reference value is the starting number. So keep that in mind, okay? My reference is wherever I started. Okay, my reference is wherever I started. And then my new value is where I've gone to. So absolute change, I just subtract my new value minus my reference value, okay? But if I want to talk about the relative change, then I'm going to have a fraction, okay? Because I'm really talking about a percentage number now, okay? In which I take the absolute change and divide it by where I started, okay? Compared to the amount that it changed compared to what I had to begin with. So absolute change, we got up here by subtracting. My reference value is always where I started, the original number of starting value. So we can go back and calculate this whole thing, and then I want it as a percentage, so I multiply by 100. Okay, so there's our formulas, okay? So then we look at an example. A diversified portfolio grows from $1,500 to $2,250, okay? So I have made $750. Do you agree? Everybody good with that? Nod, shout, something? Okay. Thank you, Steve, for nodding. I really appreciate that. So to get $2,250. There is a difference of $750. Absolute change equals new value minus reference value. $2,250 minus $1,500 is $750. Notice that this comes out as a positive number because I increased. If I had lost money, okay, if my portfolio had gone down in value, then when I subtracted, I would get a negative number over here, and all that negative means is it's a loss. Okay, I took a loss. So there's absolute change. Most of us are fine with absolute change. It's relative change that we don't like as much. Okay, so relative change, I take this $750 and I divide it by the $1,500. Okay, now I'm going to tell you truly that the great match, and then I multiply by 100%. Okay, therefore, I increase the value of my portfolio by 50%. The majority of students that I teach, they get this, so they can get this top number, so they know 750 goes on the top. And then they go, I'm supposed to divide by one of these numbers. And then they're doing this eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing. I don't really know which one I should divide by. I need to pick one of these. I hope it's my lucky day, okay? I would prefer that you remember you're dividing by the reference value, and that's always where you started, okay? Initially, I was worth $1,500. Now I'm worth $2,250. I divide by the initial, the starting value. Now, this is a good time to take a quick moment. I want to, again, this information that we're talking about in Chapter 3, this is the first of our information that you will be tested on the last test, the test you take the last night of class, okay? This has nothing to do with that open book writing test that you're going to do for me this week, okay? This is us starting information for the last test. Everybody turning your book to page 183. Okay, page 183. This is the chapter summary. And in it, they give you, oh, look at them there, formulas. You will be given this summary. It will be available to you. If you want it on paper, I will bring some paper copies to class with me. But seeing as how I've yet to have any of you turn up in class with me, I'm starting to get the idea you're not going to turn up in class with me. So if you're at home online, okay, then these will be on the class site. And you can print your own copy, or you can just go over there and look at it on your screen if you want to save trees. What form you put it in is up to you, okay? But for every chapter where we cover information, you are going to be given the summary page. I made a promise to you last week. I said, I will not make you memorize formulas. That is what Google is for, okay? That's not what your brain power is for. You and I have got more important things to do with our brain power than memorize math formulas. I want to know you can use the formula when I give it to you, okay? It's all about being able to reason with numbers. So the formulas are going to be there. So if you look, it says new value, subtract reference value, divided by reference value, times 100% is relative change. And on my slide, it says calculate the relative change. So you're going to have this right in front of you, and you're going to do exactly what it says. And all you have to do is recognizing this is my reference, because it's the original one. This is my new. This is what it grew to. All right? So no memorizing formulas, I promised. Here's another practice question. You bought a computer 3 years ago. At the time when you bought it, you paid $1,000. Today, it's worth a whopping $300. Describe the absolute change and the relative change in your computer's value, okay? So you're looking at page 183. You've got a little piece of paper there with you, okay? Because we learn math by writing. And I want you to write down, based upon the formula you see on page 183, what you believe the absolute change in the value of my computer is, and what the relative change in the value of my computer is. And I will give you at least 60 full seconds to think about that. All right, let's take a look at her answer. The reference value is my original price. My purchase price is my reference. The new value is what it now is worth. So 1,000 is my reference, 300 is my new. So the absolute value is going to be 300 subtract 1,000, a negative $700. My computer has lost $700 of its value, okay? Which makes sense. We all know old technology isn't worth much. Okay, now we want to talk about that relative change. So there's our formula for relative change. Right off of page 183, which you're going to have right in front of you when you're trying to do these calculations. So you've got new minus reference divided by reference. So 300 minus 1,000 divided by 1,000. And then in order to make it a percentage, you've got to take it times 100. So we get negative 70%. Any questions or concerns? Again, the negative sign just tells us it's a loss, okay? Things are decreasing rather than increasing. Okay, now, when we talk about absolute and relative difference versus absolute and relative change, I have to tell you, I don't see any difference, okay? There's very little difference, except that you don't have a clear old value, new value, okay? We can't say where did things start. Instead, we're comparing two things that are side by side. And so this becomes, in my opinion, not a problem with the math, but a problem with the reading. We have to read very carefully in order to notice what's being compared, okay? So we can figure out our reference point, compared value versus reference, all right? So this is really much more, the only change is in the reading. There's not a clear cut, this came first, this came later. Instead, it's two things that exist at the same time that we're comparing. All right, so here we go. Okay, so relative difference is going to be absolute difference divided by reference. And again, we've got compared minus reference. So, I mean, the formulas look the same. It looks like we're doing the same thing. But then let's look at a problem, okay? South Dakota comes up again here compared to New York. Average pay for full-time wage earners varies from state to state. Recent data from 2009 that was released in 2013, takes them a while to get that data all put together, shows that New York ranked first in average pay at about $60,300 per person, while South Dakota ranked last at an average $32,800 per person. Compare the average pay in South Dakota to that in New York in both absolute and relative terms. All right, so the terms in our formulas,
okay,
are compared value and reference value.
The key sentence is that last one.
Compare average pay in South Dakota to that in New York. Who are we comparing and what is the reference standard?
New York is the reference. We're comparing South Dakota to New York.
We are comparing South Dakota. So South Dakota is my compared value. And I'm comparing it to New York as the reference. Compared to New York, what is pay like in South Dakota? Okay. So do you see the wording? Do you see the formula? This is a reading test. I cannot tell a lie. It is. Read carefully. You will be fine. But do read carefully. All right, so once we know that, based on the wording of the statement, we've got South Dakota as the compared value. Here is our formula. And so where we have compared value, we're gonna put in the South Dakota number. Where we have reference value, we're gonna put in the New York number. We subtract and we say, oh, the absolute difference between the two is $27,500. And from South Dakota's point of view, they're making $27,500 less, okay? The negative sign says they're behind. Then here's the relative difference. Here's that subtraction on top, same terms, same numbers, divided by the reference value. Reference value always goes on the bottom, okay? No matter which one you're talking about. Times the 100. And so we find out that that is a 45.6%
difference.
Okay. And that, again, it's negative to show South Dakota is behind or below New York. Now, if they wanted to compare price of homes, you know, then we would understand why the pay is that way. So in relative terms, average pay in South Dakota was about 46% less than the average pay in New York. And then if we turn around and ask the question the opposite way, we should be able to verify that the average pay in New York was about 84% more than the average pay in South Dakota. That's usually where I get a few people running through the door. They're like, it hurts my head to think that those two numbers are different.
Okay, should they be
the same? Because the absolute difference is the same. Right? The absolute difference is the same. So why is my percentage different? I'm going to divide by the other number.
Okay.
So 27,500 divided by 32,800 is quite different than 27,500 divided by 60,300. Okay. So this is much closer to all of this. Therefore, it's a higher percentage. That's why it's over 84%. Okay. Some more reading issues of versus more than or less than. If the newer compared value is P percent more than the reference value, then it's 100 plus P percent of the reference value. If the newer compared value is P percent less than the reference value, it's 100 minus P percent of that. So notice those. Carol earns 50% more than William. How many times larger is her income than his? You know what, when they don't give you a number, my suggestion is pick a number. Pick an easy number, okay? Let's let Carol earn $1,000, okay? Carol earns 50% more than William, or let's make the problem easier. Let's let William make $1,000, okay? If William makes $1,000, then think about it, how much money does Carol make?
$1,500.
She makes $1,500. Okay, so let me do a little bit of writing here.
William,
we just gave him a salary, okay?
He gets to make $1,000. And then we said,
okay, if that is true, then how much does Carol make? Well, she makes 50% more than William, okay?
Here's one of the things I often see done on a test. 50% times 1,000 equals
500.
You're not.
I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Nobody needs to say anything. But I will have a lot of people answer test questions like this. They'll say, okay, Carol makes $500. And I'm going back here going, the problem starts out saying, Carol earns 50% more. And you just cut her down to half of what he has. Okay, so we know that can't be right. I am going to again and again and again say to you, after you've done your math and you're feeling so proud, please take one more moment and go, does this make sense? Okay, this will not pass the does it make sense question. And every one of you will know that as soon as you ask the question. Wait, she was supposed to be making more money. I got her making less money. Okay, so how do I fix it? Well, this is the difference. So if I did this and then I went, oh, stop, that can't be right. I can go back and go, oh, that's just the difference and I need to add these two. And so I'm gonna go 1,000 that William makes plus 50% more
equals what Carol makes.
And there it is, okay? Now, if on the other hand, I'm gonna try to remember what that previous slide said. It said, if you want 50% more, then you have to multiply by 100 plus
50,
okay, times
the 1,000.
And this all has to be over 100 because it's percentages.
I think they had that.
And you'll still get your 1500, okay? I personally do not remember the crazy formula that they gave. I do this, and I go, wait, that doesn't make any difference. Oh, I know what it is. I calculated difference. You can't. And this isn't her total salary. This is how much more she makes. So let's add it to what he makes. Because she makes all of what he makes plus 50% more. She earns 50% more. So it just might be an easier way to think about it than that formula-driven way that they were suggesting you do it. Formulas aren't always the easiest way. Okay. Here's their solution. Okay, the 100 plus 50%. She's going to make 150%, so that turned that to 1.5, and you have it. Okay, stores had a 25% off sale. How does an item sale price compare to its original price? Okay, so again, they don't give us a number. Pick a number, okay? We want to shop for something. Wow, I'm going to buy a $100 item today because I'm feeling wealthy, and 100 is such an easy number to use for percentage. So my $100 item at 25% off is now going to cost me what?
75.
$75. Okay. Now, how does that 75 compare to the original price? I saved 25%, right? So what did I pay?
Twenty-five percent less.
I agree. I want you to tell me how much I paid, not how much I saved. How much did I pay? So if I saved 25%, then I paid how much? What percentage of the original price did I pay?
75%.
Because all of it is 100%, right?
Right.
If I pay full price, I pay 100%.
So the $75 just turns into percent? Is it that simple?
Because it was a $100 item. See, I picked it easy, okay? I don't think it's going to cost that. Okay, so that's fair enough. Let's pick a different amount, all right?
Like some crazy number, like, I don't know, 33% or 2% or something.
Oh, I was going to keep the 25% and just make the price of my item worse. Is that okay? Or do you want me to?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So let's say that my item cost, get a little more in my shopping range, $15.89.
This is the original price.
And I am going to save 25%, okay? So if I'm saving 25%, that means I don't have to pay that 25%. So what's left that I have to pay?
100, take away 25. I am going to pay 75%.
Everybody agree? Yes. And so now, what is 75% of $15.89?
Well, we turn our 75% into 0.75, and of means multiply. And so I'm going to multiply that times 15.89.
And now, because you made me use ugly numbers, okay, we definitely need our calculator. So tell me what I'm going to have to pay for my item.
$11.90.
Even better, I saved
6 more cents. Okay, now let's take our same $15.89. Okay. And now let's say I waited a while, okay? And so now it's down to
33% off
the original value, okay? So now I get to save 33%, not 25, I'm saving even more. Okay? So how do I figure out what my new price is going to be? Well,
full price is 100%, subtract 33, leaves me with 67%. That's how much I'm going to pay.
And so I take
0.67 times 15,
89. And now what do I get to take home for?
$10.65.
See? Now, if I don't shop with my calculator in my hand,
and these
aren't very friendly numbers, then what I say to myself is 75% is like quarters, right? Three quarters out of four for a dollar. And so I know that I'm going to pay 3/4 of the original price. And I have to just think about, change that to $16. And 3/4 of 16 would be 3/4 or 12. And look, that gets me really close. The difference between $11.90 and $12 is not very much. It's a good estimate. So if I really understand these numbers and what they mean, I'm better able to have an idea of what I'm going to pay before I get to the counter. When I'm shopping in some of these stores that never want to tell you what the price is, they just want to put these crazy labels on. When I've got 33% off, that means I'm going to save about a third, so I'm going to pay 2/3. So I just divide my original problem by 3. Now it's like, you know what, dividing by 3 would be easier to use 15 than 16. So I'm going to divide 15 by 3 and go $5. I'm going to pay 2/3, so I'm going to pay around $10. Well, okay, I'm paying $10.64. I can still estimate within a dollar. Okay, so if you can comfortably change your percentages to fractions, a lot of times you can do fractions in your head more easily than you can do these calculations in your head. If not, hey, great, my cell phone has a calculator on it, and I can do it that way. So either way, I should know what I'm going to pay before I get it. Because it's kind of embarrassing to get up there, and I've already fallen in love with it now. And I don't want to leave it there when it's a lot more than I thought it was going to be. Okay, percentage of a percentage. When a change or a difference is expressed in percentage points, you can just subtract it.
All right, if I went from
4 percentage points to 2 percentage points, then I'm going to do 4 minus 2 is 2, okay? With the percent sign or the word percent, then it might be a relative change, and we might have to think a little bit more about it. So if a bank increases its interest rate from 3% to 4%, the interest rate increased by 1 percentage point. That makes sense to all of us, right? We're good? Went from 3 to 4, that's up 1. Okay? But if we're talking about the relative change, I was paying 3%, now I'm going to have to pay 4%, or maybe they're paying me. I don't know which way this is going, whether it's my credit card or my savings account. Then I can take that change, and remember we always divide by the reference value, and the reference value is always the thing that came first. It was originally 3%, so that's my reference value, so that's what I divide by. And then I'm going to change it to a percentage, and that means it actually went up 33%, okay? The relative change is 33%, even though the absolute change is just 1 point, okay? It is all about those formulas. They're on page 183. You're going to read them. You're going to do exactly what they say. You're not going to try to memorize it. Okay, let's see. If the compared value is p% more than the reference value, we're going to do compared value divided by limit or close to percent. This is important, let me think. If it says less than, you subtract. If it says more than, you add. Okay, I think that's the most important thing to notice here, okay? Less than, you're going to subtract. More than, you're going to add. You might just calculate the difference first and then either add it on or subtract it, depending on which one. Says. Okay, so again, we're out shopping, something that we are familiar with. You purchase a shirt with a labeled pre-tax price of $21. Local sales tax rate is 6%, so what is my final cost going to be? Okay. Am I going to pay the $21 for the church? Yes. I am also going to pay the taxes, right?
So
on our receipt, if we go and buy it and then we look at our receipt, it's going to divide those two things out. You can clearly see exactly how much tax you pay. They have to do that because they have to send that in, all right, to various different entities.
Here, I guess since this is
on my slide, I won't even bother to write. I'll let them write. So the final cost is the labeled price plus the taxes, okay? And so you could do those two separately.
I would probably just take 21 plus 6% of 21 and add those two numbers together.
But they're saying you can also say 100% plus 6% and just do one percentage calculation, 106% of $21. Either way, you're going to find out you're going to pay $22.26. Notice the tax was in addition to, that's why we added. If it had been on sale for 6% less, I would have said 100 minus 6 is 94%. I'm saving 6%, so I'm paying 94%, and this would be 94%.
Okay.
Only difference between those two calculations. Okay. Your receipt shows that you paid $19.26 for a Blu-ray disc, tax included. That's your total cost. The local sales tax is 7%. So what was your pre-tax price? This is the percentage question that most people don't like. And so I put this little triangle on here to remind me to show you the triangle method, okay? This triangle method is for those of you that don't like algebra, okay? Algebra is not your friend. And you would prefer to never have to do it.
So this is a substitute for algebra.
There are always three parts to a percentage problem. Okay, every percentage calculation. There is the percent number.
There is the base or the original
price, base price, trying to think, base whatever, beginning population, beginning. And then up here, this is sometimes called excuse me, the part. Okay. I'll think in a minute of other terms that might be used up here. So in this particular problem, the reason I like the triangle is because in all percentage problems across all of the years that I taught math, students go, you know, I know that I'm always either multiplying or dividing.
I know I should multiply or divide.
That's how percentage problems work. The trouble is I never know which one I should do. Okay, and I guess wrong a lot. And so I miss a lot of these. If you put a number in the top and a number in the bottom, okay, then you're going to divide. If you put two numbers side by side, you're going to multiply. And yes, it really is that easy. So if you can just learn to figure out where to plug in the two numbers you know, this triangle will tell you whether you should multiply or divide. The local sales tax rate is 7%. So usually we start out and we want to put 0.07 in there because I see 7%. But remember, it's not asking me to calculate just the tax. It's asking me to calculate the actual original price of the disc, and this up here is not the taxes that I paid, it's my total price, okay? And so I need this to be 107%.
Because
I paid the full price plus the 7% tax, which means it changes to 1.07. That is my percentage for this problem. 1.07 or 107%. I want to know the original cost. That's what I'm asked to find. So I don't know what to put in the original square because I don't know what the original price was. That's what I'm trying to calculate. I know that at the end of the day, I pay $19.26. So now we see that in our triangle, we have 19.26
divided by 1.07.
And when you put that in your calculator, what do you get?
18.
Go ahead. Is it exactly 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gosh, it is. Look at that. Okay. So the original price of my disc was $18. Why is it disconnected?
Oh, maybe because I waited too long.
Okay, so the original cost was $18. If you take
1.07
times 18, do you get back to the 1926? If I get my pin back or not. Yay.
All right. Our 18 would go here. If they're side by side, I said
you would multiply. If you take 1.07 times 18, do you get back to $19.26? The answer should be yes, we do. All right. So this triangle will work no matter which two pieces of information you have. Okay.
Is it Sunday? I'll tell my guests on the Facebook.
I'm sorry?
Christine, mute your microphone.
Somebody's on Facebook? I don't know anything about Facebook. I can give you no counsel whatsoever. All right. We'll move forward. Yeah. All right, there's their strategy. Nothing wrong with their strategy. Okay, beware of shifting reference values. This is the biggest problem in a lot of the reading that we do. You've got to be careful what they're comparing to. A 10% pay cut is followed by a 10% pay raise. Most people read that and go, okay, I broke even, right? I lost 10%, but then I got it back.
Yes.
And the answer is no, you did not break even, okay? Because you lost 10% of your original salary, mm-hmm. and then gained 10% of that reduced salary. You see how we're not taking 10% of the same number? Let me see if they calculate it for you. I think they do. Nope, they don't. All right, so here, let me do an example. Always clear with numbers. Before all of this happened, let's say I was making $20,000, all right? I'm not exactly living big. So I'm making $20,000 and the company is in trouble and says, you know, if you're gonna keep a job with us, you're gonna have to take a 10% cut in pay. And I'm not particularly happy about that, but I agree to do it. So a 10% cut in pay would be a reduction of $2,000. And so now,
$2,000 minus 0.10 of our $20,000
is $18,000. Do you agree with my math so far? My pay was cut by 10%. Okay, so a year goes by. And they say, great news. You know, you had to take that 10% pay cut. But now we're going to give it back to you. All right. We're going to increase your pay by 10%. Wonderful. But I'm not going to see $20,000. I am going to get an increase. My increase
is equal to 18,000 times
0.10 or 10%. And that is only equal to $1,800. So now, in the end, my final
pay is the 18,000 that I was cut to, plus that 10% increase of $1,800. I've made it back to
$19,800.
Now that's
certainly better than $18,000, and I'm not going to turn them down, but I am not back where I started. Okay, and the larger my number, the larger discrepancy between where I was and where I'm trying to get to. Okay, if instead of $20,000 that was $200,000, then the difference would be $18,000. No, I'm sorry. Would be $2,000. All right, so we've got to be careful about the way we think of things. When they say this is a shifting reference value, the first 10%, the reference value was $20,000. The second 10%, the reference value was $18,000. We are taking 10% of the same thing. All right, it's the old, you're comparing apples and oranges. It's not good math. All right, it looks good on the surface. It's just not true. All right, there would be an unfortunate. All right, so changing reference values, you really, really have to watch out for that. Less than nothing. This is my favorite. I've decided to lose weight. I am going to decrease my calories by 150%. How long am I going to last?
Because
I'm now somehow consuming negative calories. Because if I reduced my calorie intake by 100%, that would mean I was fasting. I don't know where I'm gonna get that other 50%, okay? How am I going to reduce my calorie intake by 150%? It is not possible, all right? Yet it sometimes turns up on people's papers. Try not to do that, okay? You cannot decrease less than 0. Don't average percentages. 70% of the boys want to do something, 60% of the girls want to do something, so let's just average those two together and call it 65%. No. What if the number of boys and the number of girls is not the same number? Then it's really a huge nut, okay? If it's my 6-period math class, it's 3/4 guys. I got to tell you, they're winning in all kinds of ways, okay? Because they hold the control in there anyway. So you cannot average percentages. Here we go. Stockbroker offers the following defense to his angry investors. I admit that the value of your investments fell 60% during my first year on the job.
That is what I call a bad first year.
This year, however, their value has increased by 75%. So now you're 15% ahead.
What are you yelling at me for?
I'm
yelling at you, okay? This is not
a true statement, okay? Let's look at it. The first reference value, they say, let's pretend, again, notice back here, everybody's angry and not everybody invested the same amount. So every person's situation in terms of the exact losses and gains is going to be different depending on how much they had invested. But just to understand why the reasoning is faulty, it doesn't really matter what number we pick. So we pick an easy number. They picked $1,000, a great choice. Okay, so I had $1,000 invested. During the first year, my investment lost 60% of its value. I lost $600 of my $1,000. I am outraged, okay? And I'm down to $400. During the second year, my investment gained 75% of $400. which is only $300.
Okay.
So I lost 600, I gained 300, I'm now back at 700, and no, I'm sorry, sir, but I am not ahead. I'm still substantially behind. Every person's situation is going to be the same. It may be different numbers, okay? But this increase, decrease, okay? Even though the loss was smaller than the gain, okay? Because we gained on that much smaller number, we're not gaining back everything that we lost, okay? It sounds great. It's a lot, okay? If I cut your taxes 20% for each of 3 years, I'll have cut your taxes by 60%. No, that's not going to work either, okay? We get a baseball average, and I'm not going to worry about that. Okay, so let's go to page 132. Let's take a look at a few practice problems from page 132, and then we're going to jump to that last section. Okay, so on page 132, 8 through 16, again, does it make sense? These are my favorites, okay? Because more than anything, I want math to start making sense to you. It's really like a big goal for me in this class. Can math start to make more sense? So let's look at the does it make sense questions, all right? Number 8, the price of tuition has tripled since my parents went to school. That's a 200% increase in price. Kind of like, I don't know.
Well, would it be 300%?
That's what we'd like to think, isn't it? In our heads, it's like, I don't know, three times, 300, two times, 200, you know. I mean, it would seem like the world worked the way we wanted it to, if that was true. And so, you know, maybe it is. Let's try a number and see. Okay? When you're not sure, you know, we're kind of thinking about this idea, but we don't have anything concrete. So we think about it and we go, okay, here's my theory. This is what I think. But if I'm not feeling secure with my theory, let's test the theory. That's what a good scientist does, right? Let's get in the laboratory and see if that's really what happens, okay? So we're going to test our theory. And again, when I'm testing a theory, I most certainly
do not want to use hard numbers.
This is just a test. I'd like to make it as quick and easy as I can, okay? So, you know,
let's think about
when I went to school. I don't even think I can remember what I paid when I went to school. It seemed like so much money then. It was really a bargain compared to today's prices. But let's say that my total tuition
was $18,000.
Okay, now we're saying what percentage increase? A 200% increase. Okay, so I'm going to pay this $18,000
plus
200%
more.
Okay. So 200% would change into 2.00
times 18,000,
which is doubling my 18,000, right? 2 times 18,000 is going to be 36,000, I hope. Are we good?
That's the 200% increase,
plus I'm still paying this. So I have to add another 18,000 on. So I've got an 18,000 here, two more of them here. That is 3 times the price. The statement is true. So the reason it's bothersome to me, or, you know, because we're saying, well, wouldn't 200% be two? Yes, it is, but remember that's an increase and I still have to pay the original, and that's where that one more comes into play. So 100% doubles your money, 200% triples your money. It's not intuitive to us, but it is true. All right, that's number eight. Number 10, I decreased my calorie intake by 125%. How am I going to be doing? Does that make sense?
No.
It does not. How come?
You can't eat less than 100%. You can't decrease less than 100%.
There we go. When I gave up 100% of my calories, that was all I had to give, okay? I can't give up those other 25 because I was not consuming them to start with. So that one does not make sense. Number 12, if they raise taxes by 10% every year in a decade, we'll be paying everything we earn to taxes. Is that 10%, the same 10% every year?
No.
No, it is not. Okay. So we increase 10%, then we increase 10% of that percent, 10% more of that percent. I'm not going to get anywhere close to paying 100% of my money. Let's just look at a little bit of that calculation, because I would almost wager money you can find an argument like that on some anti-tax website. Okay. Because that's about how good the math is on some of these. I feel strongly, but I don't reason very much after all that emotion winds in websites. So let's say that I earned $100,000, because remember,
when we're investigating,
we like to use easy numbers, okay, so that I can investigate quickly. And I don't get it tied up with, you know, me and my calculator and all that. So I make $100,000, and I am going to pay 10%,
which means I pay how much tax?
I pay $10,000, right? This is my tax,
year one.
Now, I'm going to increase
by 10%.
I'm going to increase my taxes by 10% of the taxes I paid last year. So my increase is going to equal 0.10 times last year's tax, which is only $10,000. So 10% of that $10,000
is $1,000.
So year one, I paid $10,000 in taxes. Year two,
I'm now going to pay $11,000
in taxes. Do you see how that's nowhere close to $20,000? We're not just adding 10,000, 10,000, 10,000. We're increasing by 10%, increasing the tax itself. So I paid $11,000. That's year two.
Okay.
Here's year one. Year three rolls around, and I am going to pay the $11,000 that I paid last year, plus 10% more, 0.1
of 11,000.
0.1 of 11,000 is 1,100. So I am now going to be paying 11,000
plus 1,100,
which is going to be 12,000. Nope. Sorry. Nope. I really need an eraser here. That's...
Okay, gonna add these two.
You're gonna act like I'm a math teacher. I can do it. Late at night for my math, but here we go. 1,002.
Okay, there we go. 12,100.
There, bingo. Got it. I knew I could do it. And that's year three. Are we increasing the taxes 10% every year? Yes, we are. Okay. But that doesn't mean in 10 years I'm paying all my taxes. I'm nowhere close to that. Okay. I may not be very happy about all those increases, but there is no way that I can say, now I pay my whole paycheck. There's nothing left for me to work on. Not a true statement. Okay. That was 12. 14, I have a 60% average on my assignment going into the final exam, but I still hope to raise my course average to 70% by getting an 80 on the final. Oh yeah, the final's only worth 25% of the grade.
Weighted
averages, okay? Not everything is equal. Not every assignment is equally important. When you read the requirements and grading on my website, I assigned a percentage value to every single thing you do for me. I want you to know how much it is worth, okay? I understand that as much as you want to get your full dollar value out of this class, you would like to learn everything you could, you would like to complete every assignment in order to do that, but sometimes life does not make that possible. So if you have one of those weeks where you absolutely have to make a decision, something is not going to get done, so what am I going to leave behind in the grand scheme of things? I want you to know what you should be choosing, okay? So I want you to see what each assignment is worth. Now, sometimes its value in the grade book is not equal to its value to your learning, okay? So I mean, you do have to think about that as well. But you need to know, and I want you to make an informed decision. So when we're looking at, I've got 60%. That 60% is 3/4 of my grade. Do you understand that? I'm done, except for my final exam. So 3/4 of my grade is set, it's earned, it's not going to change. It is a 60. That's 3/4 of my grade. My final exam is only going to earn 1/4 of my grade. It's not 50-50. I've earned 50% of my grade, and I'm going to get 50% more of my grade by taking my final exam. So my heavy procrastinators in high school always are a little shocked by this because their final exam is worth 20%. And they cannot just save themselves with a wonderful final exam grade after sitting in my room doing almost nothing for the better part of a 9 weeks. I've got seniors since May. By the time you get to May, they're not motivated. So I've got this 60%, and it's worth 3/4 of my grade. So when I'm averaging, this is how I explain it to my students, this one goes in 3 times.
And then your final exam grade goes in once,
and altogether, we're going to take all of those and we're going to divide by 4 to get your final grade.
Because what are students always asking me? What do I have to get on my final exam so that I can pass?
I mean, it's a very common question in my classroom as we get late in the year. What do I need? So I'm looking at it this way. I want to get your final exam. In this problem that we're looking at, okay, it's worth 25%. In their case, it's only worth 20. And so we do this. And so I say, okay, if you just want to pass, that means you want to get 70. So we can put a 70 in there, and then I'm going to take 4 times 70, and these 360s equal 180 plus your final exam has got to equal 4 times 7, 280. Oh, sorry, didn't need that zero.
There's your situation.
You need a 100. Great news, it's still possible. However, the likelihood that you're going to get a 100, maybe not so good. Okay? An 80 on your exam is definitely not going to take you to pass it.
All right.
So weighted averages, some things are worth more. You've got to think about how that impacts your grade as you go through. Uh-oh.
I don't think that did what I wanted. There.
All right. Okay. Are we late already? Holy moly, I am so sorry. I love math, sorry, even when I'm tired, I love math. So I have tortured you, and I apologize. Okay, I don't want to leave you without discussing that last section at all, because some of you did not like it in your practice exams, but we shall certainly look at it quickly, and oh my goodness, do I apologize to you for keeping me late. That's just not good. Okay, how numbers deceive. Here we go. The first part of this is Simpkin's paradox, okay? You look at this, this two basketball players we're talking about here and their percentages, and we see that Kevin shot 40% and Kobe shot 25%. So you're like, oh, Kevin shot better than Kobe. And then over here, Kevin still edges out Kobe, 75% to 70%. So you're like, hey, Kevin had a better game. And it really looks that way because, you know, he was better in the first half, he was better in the second half. But if you add these numbers together and you say, okay, in the first half, Kevin made 7 baskets out of 14, okay? 4 in the first and 3 in the second on 14 shots, so he shot 50%. Kobe made 8 baskets on 14 shots, which is more than 50%, and so Kobe wins. I want you to go back and look at it on the chart. 4 plus 3 is 7. 10 plus 4 is 14. He shot 7 out of 14. Clearly 50%. 1 plus 7 is 8. 4 and 10 is 14. So 8 out of 14. Simpson's paradox says that when you've got unequal numbers, 10 and 4, 4 and 10, these are very unequal numbers between the first half and the second half, then when you divide it up into the halves, you may not get the same result that you do when you pool all your numbers together. If you're asked to explain Simpkin's paradox, it has to do with unequal sized groups can give you deceiving results. Schools for years just took their primarily white population, they tested great, they averaged it for the whole school, and they said, see, we're doing a great job. When they started making us divide out our data and say how each individual group did, sometimes it looked pretty sad. There were groups that were not performing well at all, and we were held accountable for that as educators. So that had to also do with Simpkin's paradox and not letting people get cheated, because we could make our overall look good, but our individual groups were not necessarily being served well. So that question can be true in a lot of ways. The second half of this is about the whole testing with the lie detectors and the mammograms. True positive. That means I test positive. My mammogram says there's something wrong here. And when I go to the doctor and they test me further, indeed I do have cancer. Okay? That would be a true positive. Or if we're running a drug test, you take your drug test, the drug test comes back out and says you're using drugs, and you go, you know, it turns out I am using drugs. Okay. So it tells the truth. Then we talk about a false positive. So I know that I'm taking my mammogram test and it says you got trouble. And so I'm in a panic and I go to my doctor and my doctor does further testing and goes, no, there's nothing to worry about. That was a false positive. So the test said it indicates cancer, but further testing said, no, there's really not any cancer. Same thing with drug tests. You may get flagged in a drug test and it may say you're using, and you may be going, I swear I'm not using. And if they can run 10 more tests, then they might all show you're not using. You could get a false positive test more often than you would think. A true negative test is when it says I don't have cancer and I really don't have cancer, okay? Or it says I don't use drugs and I really don't use drugs, okay? And then a false negative is when I just get away with it from a drug test perspective. I use, but I get lucky, or I figure out a way to beat the test, and so it comes out saying I don't use, even though I do, okay? Most users are sure there's 100 ways to beat that test, and they'll explain to you why it doesn't really matter. In the case of the mammogram, this is the one where you go get your mammogram looks fine, they send you the nice pink envelope, and then you find out later, no, really, it wasn't fine, okay? So it's a much sadder situation there. So here is our table of values. 85 people tested positive and they had a malignant tumor. 85 people. 1,485 people, I want you to look at how large that number is, got The test said you've got a tumor, but when they looked, the tumor was not cancer. Okay? Maybe there was no tumor at all. This is a huge percentage of that. Okay? Put 1,485 divided by 1,570 in your calculator and look at what that number is.
I get
94.6%. Do you agree? So think about what that means. Of all the women who get their results back on a mammogram, almost 95% of them that said they had cancer, they're not going to end up having cancer.
That's huge.
That's a lot of false negatives. Okay? Now, am I saying don't go get a mammogram? No, absolutely not. But I am saying don't panic if you get a negative result, because there's a lot of false positives. Now, what about the problem with false negatives? This is a much smaller problem. Usually, if you're clear, you're really clear, okay? There's a very small group of people, 15 out of 8,430. I mean, 15 divided by 8,430, you know, that's less than 1%, way less than 1%. So if you get a negative, you're probably good to go. If you get a positive, don't panic. That's what the data really says, all right? And we can understand that if we understand the test. Polygraph the same way, okay? You've got 1,000 applicants, okay? And we know, because this is just we know, that 10% of them lie, okay? And we know that our polygraph is 90% accurate. So of these 10 liars, they used, but they swore they didn't, okay? When we test them, we will catch 9 of them, 1 of them will get missed. Okay, 1's gonna slide through the cracks, the other 9 we're gonna find, okay? But of the 990 who tell the truth, 99, they're gonna fail their polygraph. 99 people who told the truth will fail that polygraph under these circumstances. And that's not too far off how polygraphs usually work. So it's wrong for 108 people.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Let me go back to that. There's 108 people accused of lying, but only 9 of them really did. Only 9 of them really did. But 108 get accused. That's a little bit scary. When I started teaching this class, I decided I would really think twice about taking a polygraph because there's so many, you know, false positives. So that's how this works. I will put up on the class site some calculations that I walk through for this, but I want to honor your time. You have fun with me. You're amazing people, okay? So I will put those up and you can study them more. I've at least tried to show you how to read through these examples. So that you understand where their numbers are coming from. But for now, I want to send you home and thank you very much. The next time you give me like the 5-minute warning, you shout and interrupt me if you need to, but you say, hello, Mrs. Long. It's getting very late, all right? Because I really do like math and I might just go nuts on you, all right? Thanks for hanging with me. Good night. It's been awesome.
Good night.
What time is class supposed to end?
At 9:30.
Oh, okay.
You know, a long while ago. So I'm trying to get out early. I not only did not let you out early, I let you out late. I can't begin to tell you how sad I am.
I was just sitting here and I was like, does this go to 10?
Yeah, well, almost tonight, but I'm sorry. Just, you know, truly, yell at me. Don't let me do that to you. I'm really sorry. But I will put up some more calculations of these. I know I have some that I made in previous years, and I'll just put them on the class site for you. Okay?
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Good night. Everybody rest well.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.